I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I think the thing that stood out the most is we've had contributions from everybody on our roster. I mean, 24, 25 guys contributing to help us win. And the fact that we've played full 27 outs, I think, stands out.
Well, ain't that the truth? To Derek Shelton yesterday, after the Pirates go 4-0, and now the Pirates are 5-0. And it is contributions, as Derek Shelton mentioned, from said that on MLB Network, the 24th guy, the 25th guy, and sometimes even the 26th guy on the roster during a series to be able to build this 5-0 start to the season, 5-0 for the first time since 1983. Austin Bechtel with you. It's the Fan Early Morning Show for the Average Joe. Presented by CGR Wholesale, where the average Joe buys like a pro at CGR Wholesale. It's surprising. It's impressive. It should be taken with a grain of salt. Just because it's the first five games of the year, you play 162. They're about not even 3% of the way done with this season. But the main questions that you really start to wonder, how long can it hold up? How long will Derek Shelton push the right buttons for this team to be able to navigate through the season? And also, is it just because they're playing bad teams? Well, Miami was a playoff team last year. I understand Washington, but Washington also tied the game in the seventh inning and had a chance in their home opener, which can be a different beast. I know it wasn't the greatest crowd in Washington, but a home opener for a team could be a different beast. I mean, they're obviously have a different vibe, different juice, first time playing at home. Pirates beat the Marlins when they were down in Miami. Final game of the series. Bailey Falter put them in a 5-0 hole. I'm sure many on Easter were watching, tuned it on. All right, the Pirates are 2-0. Here we go. Let's watch some baseball with family. Enjoy it. And then Bailey Falter begins to ruin it. And the Battling Buccos came back, surprised, and went to Washington 4-0. So what stood out about yesterday's game? You know, sometimes when something happens once or twice, it's just a trend. 30 times maybe a trend. But if it happens one more time for the Pirates, and it has a third time, maybe it becomes a pattern. So opening day, the Pirates, I mean, frankly, really should not have won that game. Just continue to battle back, continue to fight, scrapping together runs. O'Neill Cruz in the eighth inning with the opposite field home run that would be a pop-up for anybody else. And then for the Pirates, for Luis Ortiz, two innings, no runs allowed, scoring across the plate. And the way that the Pirates were able to manufacture runs. I mean, I've been critical of Derek Shelton. I wasn't sure what the right situation was for the Pirates, if they should bring in a different manager this year, or if they should stick with Derek Shelton. I wasn't fully on board either way. But they said that they're going to really turn the tide and try to win this year and make things different. And it's all about winning. This is the messaging is completely different. It's not about growth and development anymore. It's about winning. So, would that change the way that Derek Shelton managed? And clearly, it seems like it kind of has. I mean, think about it. The way that the Pirates were able to manufacture runs. It was impressive. And it's not going to always work out. It's clear, it's evident. But after Riley Adams homered on a fly ball to left off for Wandy Contreras to make it 3-3 in the bottom of the seventh inning, Michael A. Taylor, bunt single. Runner's able to move over. Connor Joe doubles. Run scores. Ke'Bryan Hayes doubles. Run scores. Here come the Pirates. Oh, all with two outs. Joe was with one out. Hayes with two outs. Andrew McCutchen singled. Line drive to left field. 6-3 Pirates. And then the onslaught was on. The timely hitting and the clutch hitting has been impressive. And Connor Joe hitting 348 is not going to continue throughout the longevity of the season. Ke'Bryan Hayes is not going to be Ty Cobb or Ted Williams or even last year's version of Luis Arraez from the Marlins who we saw in the first series who hit 400 through the first 3 months of the year. Ke'Bryan Hayes is hitting 391 with an OPS over 1,000. Brian Reynolds is an OPS over 1,000. Rowdy Tellez is at 958. Connor Joe, 966. Michael A. Taylor is an OPS over 1,000. It's not going to happen for the longevity of the year. But what the really projectable thing is and thing that you like to see is that the lineup does have length to it. And they haven't even played necessarily good defense. I mean, they really haven't. They've played fundamentally okay defense at times. O'Neill Cruz has made an error. Ke'Bryan Hayes has made two for a gold glover. Could be platinum glover. Surprising to see. But the way that this team battles, they're the battling Bucks for a reason. Continue to fight back. The bullpen has been lights out. It's been the best bullpen in baseball. When you look at the work that Rolandy Contreras came in and gave up a run, Ryder Ryan ended up getting a hold in the ninth inning, gave up a run with two outs. Was at over 30 pitches. Ended up throwing 36. Aroldis Chapman locks the door. Marco Gonzalez was good. Five innings, four hits, one run, two walks, two strikeouts. How much confidence do you have in the Pirates right now? 412-928-9370. Eventually, they're going to start losing a bunch of games. They're going to go on a run where they lose two in a row, maybe three in a row. They get swept. But right now, why would you not be optimistic? It's okay to be optimistic and acknowledge that they're going to have their losing streaks. Guys are going to give up a bunch of runs. But it seemed like when Bailey Falter went out there, Bailey Falter, who's basically the Austin Hedges version of a pitcher, automatically going to give up runs or automatically going to get out. And even he doesn't get a loss. They find a way to win it. And this is all without seeing a right-handed starter on the mound. We have not seen the best lineup, 1-9, that the Pirates can deploy on a regular basis because they face lefties all five games. And that will change tomorrow in Washington. O'Neill Cruz will probably start leading off again. Connor Joe will be batting 6th or 7th. Jack Sawinski will be a regular in the lineup. There's a lot of things to like about the team. While at the same time acknowledging that there's still a lot out there still to learn. But if you can't be pleased, if you can't be happy and enjoy what you're seeing, then you're not a true baseball fan. You're just a pessimistic guy who likes to live in the dumpster and not really care whatsoever what the team's doing. It's all about narratives and notions.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
So how about this? Yesterday, in New York, the Pittsburgh Penguins and Sidney Crosby continue to try to as they're taking on water, paddle their way to shore, and try to salvage this season. So Sid, for the 19th time, 19th time in his career, will average a point per game. How many players, 19 consecutive years in a row, have averaged a point per game in NHL history? Sidney Crosby and Wayne Gretzky. That is the list. That's it. It's truly remarkable. It's truly impeccable. I don't even have the right words to say that I haven't already said before. That Sidney Crosby, especially if he didn't have the concussions, and even then, averaged a point per game with the concussions. He is somebody who is otherworldly as a person, as a player. He had his 82nd point of the season last night to ensure that he will average a point per game for the 19th consecutive year. He hasn't missed a game. Played every game last year. It's just remarkable what we're seeing. And the Penguins are still 5 out of a playoff spot. As Washington is treading water more than the Penguins. They lost 2 in a row. They did pick up a point against Boston, though, on Saturday. Penguins have played 1 additional game than Washington. Looking at the schedules, Washington's got Buffalo. Should be a win. And then look at this. They got the Penguins, the Hurricanes, Ottawa, the Red Wings, Buffalo again, Tampa Bay, Boston, not the Flyers. Now the Penguins, 5-3-2 in their last 10, have New Jersey, big game. Washington, huge. Tampa Bay, Toronto, Detroit, Boston, Nashville, and the Islanders. That is a steep, steep mountain to climb. That is a big uphill battle. But the way that the Penguins are playing right now, still, up and down, back and forth, inconsistent hockey. But since Sunday, March 24th, point against Colorado, the game they should have won, 2 points against Carolina, 2 points against Columbus, a point against Columbus, 2 points at the Rangers. Wouldn't this be one of Sidney Crosby's most heroic Houdini acts if he's able to will this team to the playoffs? I still don't think they will. But it would be otherworldly for Crosby to be able to put this team on his back. Evgeny Malkin came alive against Columbus and seemingly found something on the power play. Maybe it just was that his family was in attendance and he wanted to put on a show for them. But it looked like a different Malkin. It looked like a guy that had a little bit more fresh legs. Was definitely more interested in being out there and performing at a higher level, which was encouraging to see. 412-928-9370, your thoughts on the Penguins, on the Pirates. Also, if you want to touch on a little bit of women's basketball yesterday. I mean, Caitlin Clark is fantastic. They beat LSU. Matchup between UConn, battling it out with USC as well. 412-928-9370. You could also text us. You could tweet me at Austin R. Bechtold as well. And also fan weather. Oh, it is an ugly looking morning out there today. High of 66. It was raining on my way in. It is no longer raining, just cloudy skies. Raining in some areas. Fan weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Spring is here. So are the deals at Sun Chevrolet at SunChevy.com. Low of 53 today and rain throughout the day. There's also a flash flood watch until noon. Austin Bechtel with you. It's the Fan Early Morning Show for the Average Joe. It's the Fan Early Morning Show. Austin Bechtold with you as the Pirates are off today, but we'll be back in action tomorrow against Washington, and you can catch that game right here on 93.7 The Fan, the 7 o'clock game. We'll have the coverage for you. We'll also have the North Shore Tavern lead-off show with Dan Zangrilli beginning at 6 o'clock tomorrow on The Fan. 412-928-9370. Want your thoughts on the Penguins? Can they actually make the playoffs? It just seems so far-fetched. Like, yeah, they're mathematically 5 points out. They're technically still alive. But are they really still alive? They're playing like a team that's desperate, knows they're in need of wins, and is ready to fast-forward themselves to, no pun intended with the Pirates here, a new generation. Back to the Pirates, though. So Brian Reynolds and Ke'Bryan Hayes were two guys that everybody pretty much knew needed to be the catalyst for this season. They're signed to contracts through the decade. Reynolds went 2-for-5, 3 RBIs, also had a walk. Ke'Bryan Hayes was 1-for-5 with a run scored, a walk, an RBI. Reynolds is hitting .333. Hayes is hitting .391. Yes, 5 games. But still encouraging to see that the guys that the Pirates invested for the Pirates' belief and, well, for the Pirates' own sake, a lot of money in. And even in just baseball in general, $106 million in Brian Reynolds, $70 million in Ke'Bryan Hayes. And it was good to see Andrew McCutchen, who had struggled and not had a hit in his first 4 games, only played in a couple of them, not suit up for one of the games in Miami, 2-for-4, an RBI walk, did have 2 strikeouts. But, Dan, you can kind of see when McCutchen doubled off the wall, would have been a home run in 7 of the 30 MLB ballparks, hit it out to right, went off the wall, was absolutely crushed, and he was able to get his first hit of the year. Followed that up with an RBI base hit to help pad the Pirates' lead as well. Henry Davis, man, catching is a non-issue. His defense has been fine. I don't see any issue whatsoever with Henry Davis defensively. You can nitpick. There's been a wild pitch. It's been a couple balls that have gotten away from him. Just a couple. And a couple being 1 or 2. He's been very good. He's not going to be Austin Hedges, where he stops and frames every single pitch. But I think Henry Davis has done very well pitch framing. The longest winning streak to begin a season for the Pirates was 10 games in 1962, 7 in 1938. It's one of the best streaks to start a year for the Buccos ever. And what makes you think that this can't continue into tomorrow, into Thursday, and into Friday against Baltimore? Baltimore's a very good team. It's going to be tough for the Pirates. But it's also going to be very, very telling, at least early season-wise, what this team can become against a Baltimore team that was the best team in baseball last year outside of the playoffs, regular season-wise. So Trevor Williams, old friend of the Pirates, will go to the mound tomorrow to battle against Mitch Keller. Keller was not good in his first start. 5 runs, wasn't pleased with it. And you could tell on Keller's face just the overall reaction to the start. And 5 2/3, 7 hits. 4 of the runs were earned. 1 was unearned. 2 walks, 3 strikeouts. It looked like a team that was playing its first game of the year. And it looked like a starter that was making his first start of the season. Yes, spring training, whatever. Marco Gonzalez looked good yesterday. Jared Jones was the best of any Pirates starter. I thought Martin Perez looked pretty solid as well. And then Bailey Falter is Bailey Falter. So after Mitch Keller, Trevor Williams, it's Martin Perez and Josiah Gray. Josiah Gray, a start against Cincinnati earlier this year. Well, he gave up 7 runs in 4 innings. What I'm really intrigued for is the home opener matchup. It is lining up to be Jared Jones against Grayson Rodriguez of the Baltimore Orioles. Now, you want to talk about 2 starting pitchers, top 100 prospects in baseball, whether it be now, or for Rodriguez's case, not too long ago. His first start, 6 innings, 4 hits, 1 run. It was just a solo home run with 1 walk and 9 strikeouts against the Angels. And Jared Jones, a great outing in his debut. 5+ innings, 10 strikeouts, 2 runs allowed. And the thing that I really liked about Jones is how he bounced back. And that's the thing I've liked about the Pirates so far this season. The way that they bounce back. The way that they've answered back to adversity. And the way that they've been able to just not roll over and die when the other team comes back and ties the game, takes the lead, and looks to be in the driver's seat. When Washington or Miami looked to be in the driver's seat yesterday, or the 4-game series in Miami, the Pirates just snatched it back. And that's not something that we've seen from a Pirates team in recent years. And going back to Derek Shelton managing to win, it seemed like the Pirates had alternative agendas. So I'm very curious now to see how Derek Shelton manages this team to win. Because he did that in the first game of the year. They stole that game. They stole the Bailey Falter game. They stole it. With how Derek Shelton managed the bullpen, utilized bunts, squeeze play, getting runners in. And it obviously helps when Rowdy Tellez hits a 3-run homer. But then the game was tied again. David Bednar gave up a run with 1 out in the 9th. They still had to fight back, and they did. And I don't understand how you can be negative about that. Sure, you could say that, can you really trust guys like Hunter Stratton, Rowanzi Contreras for more than an inning, maybe Rowanzi Contreras at all, Ryder, Ryan. But while there's success, why not embark on it and embrace it? And why not also acknowledge Colin Holderman's coming up. He'll be returning from injury very soon. Carmen Majinski's going to be back. And Jose Hernandez, who seemingly does not have a roster spot, has gone clean innings every time that he's pitched in 2 outings this season. So there's things to like. There's things to be encouraged by. And I have a lot of excitement and optimism ready to go to the ballpark on Friday for opening day against the Orioles. 4-1-2, first pitch, as the Pirates take on Baltimore. And it'll be Jared Jones in front of the home crowd for the first time. And also Quinn Priester, who has the same turn of the rotation in Indy that Bailey Falter does. They pitch on the same day. 9 strikeouts over 5 innings, allowed 1 run. I mean, hey, that could be a possibility to potentially replace Bailey Falter if he struggles. Does Falter make another start? I think probably. After that, though, if he struggles, will the Pirates basically want to roll over and die with him? Because Paul Skeens will be here in May. It's the Fan Early Morning Show. Austin Bechtold with you as the Pirates are off today, but we'll be back in action tomorrow against Washington, and you can catch that game right here on 93.7 The Fan, the 7 o'clock game. We'll have the coverage for you. We'll also have the North Shore Tavern leadoff show with Dan Zangrilli beginning at 6 o'clock tomorrow on The Fan. 412-928-9370. Want your thoughts on the Penguins? Can they actually make the playoffs? It just seems so far-fetched. Like, yeah, they're mathematically 5 points out. They're technically still alive. But are they really still alive? They're playing like a team that's desperate, knows they're in need of wins, and is ready to fast-forward themselves to, no pun intended with the Pirates here, a new generation. Back to the Pirates, though. So Brian Reynolds and Ke'Bryan Hayes were two guys that everybody pretty much knew needed to be the catalyst for this season. They're signed to contracts through the decade. Reynolds went 2-for-5, 3 RBIs, also had a walk. Ke'Bryan Hayes was 1-for-5 with a run scored, a walk, an RBI. Reynolds is hitting 333. Hayes is hitting 391. Yes, 5 games. But still encouraging to see that the guys that the Pirates invested for the Pirates' belief and, well, for the Pirates' own sake, a lot of money in. And even in just baseball in general, $106 million in Brian Reynolds, $70 million in Ke'Bryan Hayes. And it was good to see Andrew McCutchen, who had struggled and not had a hit in his first four games, only played in a couple of them, not suit up for one of the games in Miami. 2-for-4, an RBI walk, did have 2 strikeouts. But, Dan, you can kind of see when McCutchen doubled off the wall, would have been a home run in 7 of the 30 MLB ballparks, hit it out to right, went off the wall, was absolutely crushed, and he was able to get his first hit of the year, followed that up with an RBI base hit to help pad the Pirates' lead as well. Henry Davis, man, catching is a non-issue. His defense has been fine. I don't see any issue whatsoever with Henry Davis defensively. You can nitpick. There's been a wild pitch. It's been a couple balls that have gotten away from him. Just a couple. And a couple being 1 or 2. He's been very good. He's not going to be Austin Hedges, where he stops and frames every single pitch. But I think Henry Davis has done very well pitch framing. The longest winning streak to begin a season for the Pirates was 10 games in 1962, 7 in 1938. It's one of the best streaks to start a year for the Buccos ever. And what makes you think that this can't continue into tomorrow, into Thursday, and into Friday against Baltimore? Baltimore's a very good team. It's going to be tough for the Pirates. But it's also going to be very, very telling, at least early season-wise, what this team can become against a Baltimore team that was the best team in baseball last year outside of the playoffs, regular season-wise. So Trevor Williams, old friend of the Pirates, will go to the mound tomorrow to battle against Mitch Keller. Keller was not good in his first start. 5 runs, wasn't pleased with it. And you could tell on Keller's face just the overall reaction to the start. And 5 2/3, 7 hits. 4 of the runs were earned. 1 was unearned. 2 walks, 3 strikeouts. It looked like a team that was playing its first game of the year. And it looked like a starter that was making his first start of the season. Yes, spring training, whatever. Marco Gonzalez looked good yesterday. Jared Jones was the best of any Pirates starter. I thought Martin Perez looked pretty solid as well. And then Bailey Falter is Bailey Falter. So after Mitch Keller, Trevor Williams, it's Martin Perez and Josiah Gray. Josiah Gray, a start against Cincinnati earlier this year. Well, he gave up 7 runs in 4 innings. What I'm really intrigued for is the home opener matchup. It is lining up to be Jared Jones against Grayson Rodriguez of the Baltimore Orioles. Now, you want to talk about two starting pitchers, top 100 prospects in baseball, whether it be now or for Rodriguez's case, not too long ago. His first start, 6 innings, 4 hits, 1 run. It was just a solo home run with 1 walk and 9 strikeouts against the Angels. And Jared Jones, a great outing in his debut. 5+ innings, 10 strikeouts, 2 runs allowed. And the thing that I really liked about Jones is how he bounced back. And that's the thing I've liked about the Pirates so far this season. The way that they bounce back. The way that they've answered back to adversity. And the way that they've been able to just not roll over and die when the other team comes back and ties the game, takes the lead, and looks to be in the driver's seat. When Washington or Miami looked to be in the driver's seat yesterday or the 4-game series in Miami, the Pirates just snatched it back. And that's not something that we've seen from a Pirates team in recent years. And going back to Derek Shelton managing to win, it seemed like the Pirates had alternative agendas. So I'm very curious now to see how Derek Shelton manages this team to win. Because he did that in the first game of the year. They stole that game. They stole the Bailey Falter game. They stole it with how Derek Shelton managed the bullpen, utilized bunts, squeeze play, getting runners in, And it obviously helps when Rowdy Tellez hits a three-run homer. But then the game was tied again. David Bednar gave up a run with one out in the ninth. They still had to fight back, and they did. And I don't understand how you can be negative about that. Sure, you could say that, can you really trust guys like Hunter Stratton, Rolandy Contreras for more than an inning, maybe Rolandy Contreras at all, Ryder, Ryan. But while there's success, why not embark on it and embrace it? And why not also acknowledge Colin Holderman's coming up. He'll be returning from injury very soon. Carmen Majinski's going to be back. And Jose Hernandez, who seemingly does not have a roster spot, has gone clean innings every time that he's pitched in two outings this season. So there's things to like. There's things to be encouraged by. And I have a lot of excitement and optimism ready to go to the ballpark on Friday for opening day against the Orioles. 4-1-2, first pitch, as the Pirates take on Baltimore. And it'll be Jared Jones in front of the home crowd for the first time. And also Quinn Priester, who has the same turn of the rotation in Indy that Bailey Falter does. They pitch on the same day. 9 strikeouts over 5 innings, allowed 1 run. I mean, hey, that could be a possibility to potentially replace Bailey Falter if he struggles. Does Falter make another start? I think probably. After that, though, if he struggles, will the Pirates basically want to roll over and die with him? Because Paul Skeens will be here in May, if not, then June. That'll be a rotation spot taken. Maybe if it's Marco Gonzalez, then it's that one of Bailey Falter. But the Pirates can't wait that long. Continue to stack wins. Continue to stack up victories. And entering yesterday is the Pirates and the Yankees. 4-0 teams. Bucks are 5-0 with the day off today. Back in action tomorrow. The pre-show is next on the Fan.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.